Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the biggest spring primary of our lifetime, Eve edition. Dominic, how you doing, little buddy?
Crutey, I am awesome. Great to be with you, Evan, on the board, our fair audience, election day tomorrow, baby.
Dominic, how do I sound? Up here in God's country, beautiful La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Well, you like always, Crutey, you sound better than you look, which is why you're good on radio.
Well, Crutey is in God's country. Joe Biden, the president, is in the Ukraine today. We'll talk about that more in hour two. And we got some big guests today as well, Dom. We got Senator Brad Paff from La Crosse. Local boy, I'm in his district, Dom. So we will talk with Brad Paff. Of course, he was also the third congressional CD Democratic candidate in the last election. And that means we've got a congressman insurrectionist, Van Orden, in this district. The one I currently sit again, Dom.
Well, I don't know if he's actually in the district. I think he was very concerned about the Mexican border recently. So he might not actually be in the district.
Van Orden at the border currently. Is he packing? Did he bring another gun on an airplane? Dominic, also on this big show, our buddy, podcaster, pundit, friend of the Devil's Advocates, Bill Press at 505.
Excellent.
And as we were coming on the air, you said that what? Bernie Sanders has taken a little bone of contention with Nikki Haley in regards to ageism?
She wants to what? Do anyone over 75 years old, according to Haley, should take a mental competency test. Bernie apparently had an issue with that. He said, quote, "We are fighting racism. We are fighting sexism. We are fighting homophobia. I think we should also be fighting ageism." And Bill happens to be, what, 82 years old? So we're fine. We embrace the age and the wisdom. Bill's going to come around at 5 o'clock.
Are you going to question whether or not Bill's too old to do hits on the Devil's Advocates? Too old to party with this crew, Dom?
I'm just going to throw out the person, man, woman, camera, TV test and see if he passes.
I would wonder. Now I'm back to the big story of the day, Wisconsin Supreme Court primary. The primary is tomorrow. The general election is April 4th. And also there is a Senate special, Senate super duper fill-in Dom Senate district. Alberta Darling has retired, did so in December. And the Republicans, Dom, through a healthy dose of partisan gerrymandering, have carved out a 2/3 majority in the Wisconsin Senate, despite the fact they barely ever won a statewide election. But anyways, tomorrow is also a big day for your girl, Janelle Branchen, the Trump endorsed. And then there's also Dan Canoro. He is, you know, he's up to his eyeballs in insurrectionist sentiment as well, Dom. They're both deniers, are they not?
They are. It's going to be hard to choose between the two of them. Which election denier do you want to represent? You know, this either the ones that, what, don't believe the veracity of the elections that they themselves won.
Dominic, let's start today with Jennifer Rubin, opinion column over at the Washington Post. When the local headlines are the national headlines, let's start here. She writes, plenty of Wisconsin voters are really into the Supreme Court primary race.
I'm really into it. Are you?
I have been. We've been quite into this race. I read Dateline Madison. Progressive judges Janet Protasiewicz and Everett Mitchell And conservatives, boo, Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro are on the primary ballot in Wisconsin on Tuesday to fill an open seat on the state Supreme Court. The final outcome in April will determine whether progressives can capture a 4-3 majority. And I would say, Dom, the soul of the Wisconsin body politic and change the court's direction. Many voters care deeply about the outcome. At an office park in Southwest Madison on Saturday morning, a fleet of Democratic volunteers and just a couple of party staffers worked with military precision to dispatch a steady stream of canvassers. The 8 a.m. shift was well underway. Another batch would come in at noon, despite temperatures in the teens. Damn, it got nicer in the afternoon. I did the Maker's Market. Quite nice. But I wasn't at the Democratic Party organization. Ruben tells more. The organizer running the operation, Rebecca Wilson, came to Wisconsin from Pennsylvania for her gap year before college. That's like my kid's age, Dom. A remarkably self-possessed 19-year-old. She teaches volunteers to use a canvassing app to record voter data, hands out packets with designated houses to visit, and reviews the questions they should ask. Do you know about the race? Have you decided how to vote? This is one of seven neighborhood team operations in Madison alone. 200 operate around the state. Wilson has been at this for nearly a month, making 500 volunteer calls a week. 500 a week, Dom. That's more phone calls than you've made in your whole life. At least return phone calls. A little bit more. Wilson says redistricting is a top issue. Yes. People tell us they feel like they're losing their democracy. A resident in the area for 39 years, volunteer J.T. Cavelli, echoes that observation. The GOP, and here's a quote, seriously gerrymandered the state, she says, to such an extent that more than once, voters have told her, no one sees or hears me. Tom, the devil's advocates, we hear them at least. We're a radio product. We don't see you, but we hear you at 844-967-2789. More here, though. She thinks gerrymandering has contributed to extremism and friction between the parties. Despite the weather, it's cold and slick out there. Covelli says she's determined to spend as much time with voters as needed to educate them about the election.
As are we, Crudy. Ruben continues. Certainly, abortion is the most critical for many volunteers. The Supreme Court's Dobbs versus Jackson's Women Health Organization decision that overturned Roe v. Wade last year hit younger voters extremely hard, Covelli says. The state's 1849 near total ban on abortion took effect after the decision, but now it faces legal challenges. With a 4-3 conservative majority on the state Supreme Court almost certain to uphold the ban, even though more than 60% of Wisconsinites say they support Roe, this is a critical moment for reproductive rights. After the Dobbs decision, former state treasurer and U.S. Senate candidate Sarah Godlewski set up a political action committee, Women Win Wisconsin, to elect pro-choice women. She spends time lately organizing rallies, drawing on the large progressive coalition of groups in Wisconsin and helping turn out the vote. On a freezing Friday night in Madison, Godlewski and a group of female OBGYNs met in a restaurant to talk about Dobbs, the chaos it inflicted on patients and doctors, their mutual effort to sustain the full range of medical care, and their personal development as advocates. Dobbs has wreaked havoc on their practices, the physicians say. Women as young as 20 now ask for tubal ligations rather than run the risk of an unwanted pregnancy. Some pharmacists reject prescriptions for Mifepristone used to treat miscarriages, that's the RU-486, for fear it's intended for an illegal abortion. One doctor recalls that a patient with a high-risk pregnancy pleaded to put her first if a life-threatening emergency arose. Heartache is a constant feature in their professional lives. They refuse to accept that physicians and lawyers, instead of women themselves, based on the best medical advice, get to make these decisions. They've helped set up and staff the clinics just over the Illinois line to offer abortion services for those with time and resources to travel that are illegal in Wisconsin. This blows my mind that I'd have to say that. One of the OBGYN confesses, "This has been the worst year of my life. Even if she does everything right, aggressive prosecutors might come after her, claiming a life-saving abortion was unnecessary. No wonder overturning Roe v. Wade convinced these doctors just how critical advocacy is to their ability to care for patients. The Dobbs decision impacts all physicians who treat pregnant patients, including primary care doctors, who are the only providers in some rural areas. Even the notes taken by an emergency room doctor or radiologist about a pregnant patient might create a legal quagmire if a prosecutor decides to second-guess treatment. Sheesh. As it did with some submissions, Dobbs convinced some politically active University of Wisconsin students to focus on reproductive rights. I heard from a second-year medical student who wants to practice obstetrics and gynecology, and she's incredulous that a Texas judge could too soon ban the RU-486. We want to be the best medical professionals we can be, she says. She did not want to see politicians dictate care. No doubt. Medical students who talk with prospective students ask the school administration what to say about Dobbs. The response, you'll learn all the medicine you'll need, an answer she finds paternalistic and meaningless. She might have to do her residency out of state to get adequately trained. It's not just medical students who might leave. One undergraduate woman who attends the University of Wisconsin at the Stevens Point campus says, if I don't feel valued as a human being in this state, why would I stay? She's in good company. The steady outflow of young people from Wisconsin may well accelerate if they feel their values are under assault. Evers is certainly worried. In his state of the budget speech last week, he declared, quote, each day women in this state are treated like second-class citizens because a law enacted before they had the right to vote, one that strips them of their reproductive rights, that is bad for freedom, it's bad for families, and it's bad for recruiting new workers, too. He added, we cannot expect more people to move here if they have to give up basic freedoms when they do. Ruben concludes, Tuesday's vote will give the first indication about whether Wisconsin is prepared to lose its best and brightest, sending the message that women don't deserve respect, or if, as one student puts it, there's still hope for Wisconsin. Curdy, I believe there is hope for Wisconsin, and if everyone turns out and does the right thing tomorrow and again in April, we will persevere.
You know, normally these spring elections, they're low turnout. And now that we've got a, let's call it a warm fuzzy blanket, a civic media network. Now that we've built this thing, if we just turn out a few more, and I mean relatively low percentages, but if you turn them out, then we will control the courts. And we cannot do it alone. It doesn't stop at the water's edge, although apparently Republicans don't respect that either. But here's what I mean. You got to tell your friends at the bar, at work, at church, tell them, A, listen to the devil's advocates, and B, do the right thing. Vote in the primary, and then the general, April 4th. We recommend a liberal. Come back, more devils.
When they go low, we get high. The devil's advocates.
We are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'm back in God's country. I'm back in La Crosse, Wisconsin. We both are alumni. And in the case of our, both of us, we both graduated, right?
Yes, yes.
Unlike Scott Walker claiming alumni status at Marquette despite a failure to graduate, let's just say. But, Dom, I'm here at the Holiday Inn Express downtown, you know, right next to Buzzard Billy's. I feel like this is the Crudy Suite. Last time I was in town, I stayed in the same room. They put me in the same room staring at the restaurant. They must give it to all the chubby guys to check in. Must point them at the restaurant next door. Excellent food there. I'll eat there later. I feel quite confident. But, Dom, we've got the fine state senator from this district. He is Brad Paff. He joins us in like 10 minutes. Stick around for that. But I'm here to seek, let's just say, an office space, a place to operate a commercial radio station in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Because, Dom, if some people missed it on Friday, and where were you? But if you missed it on Friday, there was a big, big announcement made on Friday. And new reporting thereof, our friend Bruce Murphy at the online daily, urbanmilwaukee.com. Bruce got the first story. But as fate would have it, it took a few days longer than anticipated. Bruce dropped his story today. The headline, Truth Radio Network, now statewide, baby. And I love this map. This map is glorious, Dom. The coverage that Civic Media now has across the state of Wisconsin. And the big announcement on Friday, we had Civic Media CEO Sage Weil. You know, he's the big shot that's funding this big expansion operation. Sage came on and disclosed a really big deal, a tremendous big deal. And it's now public record because it's filed with the FCC. But Civic Media is acquiring a station, 1490 AM in La Crosse. It's acquiring two stations in Eau Claire. Glorious! 93.5 FM. That is a brand new station. Go listen. If you're in the Valley, Genie, go listen to 93.5. All the way to Menominee, baby. It sounds great. And there is also 105.7 FM. But anyways, Dom, there's coverage. Oh, and the Packer station, did I mention? We got another Packer market, WRJN, in Racine, Kenosha. But I like to read a little bit of Bruce's piece. We've got the Death Star built, says radio owner Mike Crute, using Star Wars terminology. You know, I love quoting me, Dom, in the paper, using Star Wars terminology to describe the veritable empire of radio stations he has now built. Now, that's not entirely true. There's a lot of us. But thanks, Bruce, for getting my name right. Except that the Death Star was run by Darth Vader and the bad guys we movie fans love to hate. Whereas Crudy styles himself as the good guy, bringing some liberal talk and mostly a lot of factual news to a state that's long been dominated by conservative talk radio. The network we built far exceeds our initial plans, that super sexy Crudy says. That part is very, very true. This piece of closure, I'd like to think, and closing out the map, this far exceeded any expectation I had. Crudy's partner, Sage Weil, is a wealthy tech industry entrepreneur and big-time donor to Democratic politicians who has financed the building of Civic Media. As their company is called, their most recent purchases include some $3.65 million to buy two stations in Eau Claire, one in La Crosse and one in Racine that has two different signals. There's also an Oshkosh FM in that deal, I'd point out. A lot of signals in that deal. All told, Civic Media now owns 12 talk radio stations, three country music stations, and three others with music formats like oldies, hit songs. It's a map of state. Its map of the state shows circles of coverage by its radio stations for every area of the state, save the little covered northeastern area of the state bordering Michigan's Upper Peninsula. And many of those 12 talk radio stations were previously reliant on nationally syndicated conservative shows with scanty news coverage and no local news coverage. Now the stations will run a mix of ABC and CBS News every half hour with programming that emphasizes local hosts and local programming. Again, Crudy quoting Crudy, we're trying to be hometown Wisconsin radio. We will broadcast state news in every market we serve and regional stuff too. Dom, there will be state news broadcasts at the top of the hour at 8 a.m., noon, and 5 on all stations, including the music stations. Our country music stations, we will air 3 hours of news a day. Now, slow down. I didn't quite say that. I said on some we do. I'm not saying that might happen on all of them, but, you know. Dom, if you could help me out.
We only got a couple of minutes left here. Bruce Murphy goes to mention and talk about Terry Bell, of course, the journalism instructor at the Madison Area Technical College, brought in as the news director at Civic Media in October of 22. His first challenge, overseeing the coverage of the November 22 election. We had 14 correspondents across the state, Crute notes. On his talk stations, our goal is to have local voices in every market. We continue to add layers of local. That includes morning show featuring Milwaukee's Earl Ingram, which runs on stations in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha. In western Wisconsin, on station La Crosse and Eau Claire, the local host is Todd Alba, former Republican legislative aide with roots in the area, who was critical of his party's legislators for passing photo ID law that was expected to suppress Democratic voters. And Manitowoc comedian Charlie Behrens has been added as a statewide voice. But unlike right-wing radio, this will not be hard-edged or ideological commentary. Ingram's show, for instance, has added former Packer Gilbert Brown, who will do a one-hour show in the morning. Indeed, sports is a big part of the network Crude is building. Stations have won bids to broadcast the games for the Packers, the Milwaukee Brewers, the Wisconsin Badgers, and Marquette basketball. In addition to three stations that are broadcasting Friday night high school football games, and Crude eventually hopes to broadcast high school football in every market we cover.
Dominic, Bruce Murphy gives me far too much credit as opposed to like the guy with the checkbook and the vision. But anyways, here's how the column completes. Me quoting me again. "We're not trying to beat the drum for the blue team," Crudy says. "We're trying to tell the truth. Just trying to give them the facts. Just the facts, Joe. Come back! We got a fine guest, Senator Brad Paff from La Crosse. I'm in God's country on the road again. Enjoying this Death Star we're about to turn on."
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Tomorrow, Supreme Court primary election day in the great state of Wisconsin. Dom, appreciate the coverage from Bruce Murphy. He spelled my name right, but he gives me entirely too much of the credit. Mostly because I was the source, you know, so understand. It's going to sound really good when I tell it. But we welcome back another fine source to this program. He is State Senator Brad Paff. Brad, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Brad.
Well, thanks for having me. Good afternoon. I hope you're well.
Brad, I am literally staring at the sign for Buzzard Billy's. And when you and I last saw each other face to face, we were right down here on Pearl Street, great city of La Crosse, Wisconsin. And we did the show right on the glass, and you were there with me. And, Brad, it was the Friday evening. Well, yeah, I'm here in town, sir. But it was the Friday, Brad, that Dobbs overturned Roe v. Wade. And it was it was a strange Friday night. And I guess here's the question, sir. Do you think it's still firing up the electorate, Brad? Election day tomorrow in Wisconsin. Do you think people still, is this a fresh wound still, sir?
I believe it is. I believe it is, and I believe it cuts across political persuasions. I think it cuts across demographics. I think it cuts across income as well. It doesn't matter if you're rural or urban. People are impacted by this. They know what's happened here. They realize the overreach that's taken place by our U.S. Supreme Court. They know that they do not want to live in a state that treats people, a part of its population, half of its population, of second-class citizens. Nobody wants to go back to 1849, 12 years before the Civil War, when Zachary Taylor was president of the United States. Nobody wants to go back to the 1849 law. And yes, people are still talking about this, regardless of where they may live, regardless of their economic background, regardless, you know, of their social economic status or education. They are following this very closely.
Senator, I don't want to bring up sore topics, but you were a congressional candidate in the midterm elections, and we're in the third CD here, Brad. And I would say that as I drove into town today, as I drove into God's country, I could find plenty of right-wing talk radio on the airwaves. And, Brad, part of why I'm here is because we've purchase, Civic Media is purchasing, my partner is purchasing a radio station here in La Crosse. We're purchasing stations in Eau Claire. Brad, we are trying to fill out the map in the third CD, especially because I cannot believe we have an insurrectionist as our congressman from the third CD. I've got to call you worse, Brad, I'm sure. But Brad, how much do you think misinformation to the electorate plays into a guy like Van Orden getting elected?
Well, I do think, unfortunately, it did play a role, and that is unfortunate. The other thing that played a role is the fact that, you know, Van Orden was able to, you know, not introduce himself to the voters, and he wasn't held accountable by not introducing himself fully to the voters, by such things as having a debate and doing general appearances, joint appearances as the two candidates, coming before different groups and before different constituencies in order to introduce ourselves. Instead, just playing the social media and just playing, a particular partisan bent when it comes to the media, he was able to communicate. And again, I hate to say it, because I do believe that, regardless of one's political or one's financial situation, they should be able to run for office. But money talked in that race as well. And without a doubt, the Republicans spent an awful lot of money in order to win that open third congressional district seat. And their candidate was victorious. Now the hard work begins, and that is needs to govern. And what you'll find in Western Wisconsin is the fact that the people in Western Wisconsin, they will hold their elected officials accountable. They want to make sure that they see and communicate and know their elected officials. And so now the work begins. Obviously, it's important that the member of Congress from Wisconsin 3rd Congressional District, regardless if it's a Republican or a Democrat, they need to get to work, and we want them to succeed. And so I reach my hand out to Derek Van Orden and, wish him well as a freshman member in the House of Representatives and encourage him to remember the voters in this district and realize that work needs to get done.
Well, you're perhaps a more generous man than I. Senator Brad Paff, our fine guest, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. Brad, for those unfamiliar with the topography of this part of the state, it's kind of weird. There's coulees all around La Crosse, meaning sort of mountains and valleys, not extreme mountains, but large enough to make it hard to pump a radio or a TV signal in. And then when you get here, you realize it's a split market. You got Iowa media, you got Minnesota media, and you're competing for the eyes of Wisconsin media in Western Wisconsin. So there's sort of a split market going on here, Brad. Brad, do you think that this swingy part of the state, this river part of the state, are we getting short shift over here? And I say that as an old La Crosse guy.
Yeah, well, I think that the answer is yes. I do believe that we need to continue the member of Congress and the elected officials, may it be at the federal level or the state level, they need to keep focused on the people in this state, and particularly in the people of this region. And if you look at the western and central Wisconsin, which makes up the 3rd congressional district, you are looking at least in the southern two-thirds of that district, in what's called the Driftless region. And that is where the most recent glacier, thousands upon thousands of years ago, did not come through this area. So we have a landscape that is very, very unique. Nowhere else do they have a landscape like this, in which we've got coulees, and we've got valleys, and we've got rolling hills. And it's absolutely beautiful, but we don't have a lot of lakes because the water moves. It flows downhill. So you see issues like flooding that takes place. That's another reason why we had so many small family-owned farms, because we did not have the landscape to have one large, huge farm. So you'd have smaller little farms that would dot the landscape on the rolling hills and the creeks. And that's where you'd see these family farms. But that's all changed, and people realize that. But they want their member of Congress to recognize the fact that they need to continue to invest in things like infrastructure and public education, to make sure that we got a health care system that is affordable. Obviously, the accessibility is so important, but it's the affordability that is really driving people out, and that's causing real problems. We got to make sure that we continue to invest in our main streets. And we recognize that we've got global competition. But the thing is, there's just still an awful lot of local pride and craftsmanship that takes place here. And, people want to make sure that their elected officials, may it be at the federal level or the state level, recognizes that, are in tune with the interest here. And that is why, this is very important, what's taking place in Washington, D.C., protecting Social Security and Medicare, protecting that. Don't even have that conversation that, somebody's going to try and remove that. I mean, that is a failed idea. And I am glad that the Republicans have come out uniformly against what Senator Rick Scott, you know, proposed over a year ago. And they got to vote to protect this. You need to make sure that they recognize this infrastructure package that the Democrats and President Biden passed last year. This thing's enacted in order to make sure that we get these dollars back to this area with this very unique landscape. And of course, there's always a lot of talk about the Farm Bill. I served as State Secretary of Agriculture for a period of time, and you know, I very much understand and recognize the importance of our family farmers. And we got to have a Farm Bill that recognizes what's happening here on this landscape. And I compliment the new member of Congress, Derek Van Arden, for serving on that committee. But now you got to recognize what needs to be done and really go to work and implement something that fits, you know, the Viroquas of the area, the Galesville, the Blairs, these rural areas in Trumbull County and Vernon County and Crawford County. And that's where the rubber hits the road here.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That is Wisconsin State Senator Brad Paff joining us on the phone. Brad, thank you. Pleasure to speak with you, sir. Let's talk a little bit about the Tony Evers budget here in the state of Wisconsin. Have a huge surplus, about $7 billion. Tony has set out a few priorities. One of them, according to the Journal Sentinel today, this UW Promise program for low-income students. Apparently, Republicans are coming out against it. And as I understand it, the Wisconsin Tuition Promise will cost almost $14 million in the first year. By year four, when it's fully installed, it could cost up to $35, $36 million annually and support 8,000 students. To invest in our education, which I think has been lacking over the last couple of decades under Republican rule here, not a minimal amount, but compared to the entire budget, Brad, not overly significant, especially considering how Speaker Robin Voss has decided to spend millions of dollars investigating, quote-unquote, voter, quote-unquote, fraud in the state of Wisconsin to appease, the megas. So, you know, priorities do matter, Brad. I want to get your sense on the Wisconsin Tuition Promise and then the other Evers priorities as you understand them.
Well, let me say, first of all, if I believe the budget that the governor proposed last Wednesday evening, February 15th, was the most pro-worker, pro-family, pro-middle class, pro-Western Wisconsin budget that can be proposed. There was an awful lot in there that I support. I mean, he's having a conversation about making sure that when we do tax reform from the bottom up and the middle out. He's talking about what family medical leave means. He recognizes the fact that people pay too much for child care in this state. We got to fix this child care problem. If we want to make sure we continue to grow this economy, we got to fix this child care situation that we have. He recognizes the importance of job training and job retraining programs. And he recognizes the importance of K-12 schools that are, you know, what's good for our children is good for our future, and what's good for our children is good for our state. And the other thing he recognizes, and we all recognize the fact, is the quality of our UW system we have. We have a technical school system that is second to none when it comes to job training and job retraining programs. We need to continue to build upon that. We also need to make sure that, we provide opportunity for individuals that seek to further their education, and may it be either a technical school or at the university. I represent the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, an excellent, excellent regional four-year comprehensive university. A number of those students that attend are first-generation students. I was a first-generation college student many, many years ago. It isn't easy in order to be a first-generation and try and go to a four-year educational institution. And the thing is that I also recognize the tremendous financial burden that it costs.
Senator, let me interrupt for just a minute.
Go ahead.
Drove through the Western Wisconsin Technical College campus in La Crosse today. Beautiful. They've obviously made a lot of investment there. We know that in Richland Center, that two-year school has been basically starved to death and now is being eliminated, sir, to the benefit apparently of the UW Platteville program. when Platteville was put in charge, it was at the expense of Richland Center. Do we need to be concerned about the Western Wisconsin Technical College? Is there a UW lacrosse connection? Do they have say over recruiting, et cetera, at WWTC?
Well, thankfully, we don't have to worry about that as far as closing. We do not have to do that. And because there are different funding sources between, you know, the Western Technical, the Technical College system and the UW system. But what we do need to pay close attention to, and it's a good question, Mike, is that, you know, the relationship that the business community has developed with these technical colleges is a very, very strong relationship. And that is a relationship that is based upon the regional economic trends that are taking place. So in the lacrosse area, you're seeing an awful lot of healthcare-related education that's taking place at Western, as well as a lot of mechanical manufacturing and agriculture, because that is our economy in this area. In regards to...
Hey, Brad, I'm so sorry to cut you short, Senator. Thank you so much for joining us on the Devil's Advocates. I'll be at Buzzard Billy's sometime after 6. If you're in the district, Senator, more Devil's Advocates. We'll be back.
...60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. 844-967-2789. Our pal Bill Press going to join us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour.
Man, what a fine show this is shaping up to be. Bill Press, he's a cool guy. Hope Dom doesn't treat him in an ageist fashion.
Never.
Condescend or any of that sort of thing. Don't treat him like Nikki Haley would. Also, Senator Brad Paff from the great state of Wisconsin. Of course, he is from La Crosse, Dom, and I'm in La Crosse in God's country, hanging out in the... This has become the Crudy Suite here at the Holiday Inn Express, staring at the Buzzard Billy, my favorite restaurant. You know, sort of down around the corner from Shooters. Shout out to Rudy. I hope Dana's around tonight. I hope Dana's listening right now. There's time right now for your phone calls. 844-967-2789. I wonder how people are feeling on this primary election eve. Now, the primary's less important than the general, no doubt. But it's still important. It's a way to demonstrate just how engaged you are. So I would encourage everyone in this audience, well, vote tomorrow, but call today at 844-967-2789. Jennifer Rubin said lots of people care a lot about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, is Dobbs, is the overturning of Roe v. Wade is still motivating you? Because if you're a woman or you love a woman that lives in the state of Wisconsin and you want her to have reproductive rights, they ain't coming any other way except through overturning the 1849 abortion ban. I mean, it's not going to happen legislatively because of the gerrymander.
Oh, no,
and that's
on,
not going to
change.
Don't
worry about it. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, he's got a plan. You know, he's going to come to the table and offer what? Maybe an exception for rape and incest? Maybe, but that's it. Here's my offer. Go stick it to the women. And it is so, you know, reading through that article and understanding, you know, having reporting of these young women stepping up and engaging like this, it is, you know, as a man, and I got a wife and daughter and sisters and cousins and, you know, but it's different, right? It doesn't impact me like it does them. I mean, physically, literally, like it does them. And it is so unbelievably frustrating. And literally unbelievable at all that we are now reverted to this old ass law, you know, passed before women even had the right to vote. And we're going to determine that legislators and prosecutors and attorneys are going to dictate whether or not someone has the right to choose their own health outcomes. It is beyond the pale for me. So as I think, I just get mad. I get really mad thinking about it. And it doesn't impact me personally, not my body, not this body, but every woman you know, every woman you don't know, it does impact them. They make them second-class citizens. And for the Republicans and the megas to step up and offer nothing. Hey, too bad. If you don't like it, as Senator Ron Johnson says, you can move. Or if you have the resources, you can travel. But if you don't and you're stuck and now you have an unwanted pregnancy, well, don't look to the Republicans to give you any sort of assistance because they only give a damn, as they say, to the unborn child. As soon as they're born, it's your problem. It's disgusting. So people should be motivated.
You know, we see another example of that today in the headlines over at the Journal Sentinel. Robin Voss, you know, we will not fund this sort of college head start program for lower income Wisconsinite families. And you think to yourself, what a wonderful investment this would make in the state. You want to keep kids here? Make them Badgers. Put them to school. Get them on campus. Give them an opportunity. And Robin Voss says, well, of course not. So you've got no control over your reproductive rights. You've got no choice to legal weed, and I know that matters to a lot of the young kids. You are so getting shafted on your college, your Medicaid, if you're a low-income person. And these Republicans don't give a damn. Why? Because they are so gerrymandered into their positions. Your will, even you Republicans, conservatives, CJ, you know what? Your Republican leaders don't give a damn about your will. They don't care. They got a 2/3 legislative majority in the state of Wisconsin. If they could just stick it and find a way to steal the governor's mansion, I mean, they would never need you again. Seriously. So if we want to see change, meaningful change in the state of Wisconsin, sadly, it's not a governor's race. It's not a special election in the state Senate, although I'd like to see Republicans lose the power of the veto and impeachment, which is ridiculous because they gerrymandered themselves to that ridiculous majority. But if you want to see something different, it starts tomorrow. You got to vote. You got to show them this is BS. And we're not going to take it anymore.
Again, I need to reiterate the cost on this Wisconsin tuition promise cost. $14 million in the first year. By year four, once it's fully installed, UW system estimates it would cost $35.6 million annually and support 8,000 students. The Republicans, the way they piss money away on everything else. I mean, look at the Foxconn deal. Right? They stand up and would say, "Oh, we're the fiscal conservatives. We got to pay as we can't borrow." Yeah, we have a $7 billion surplus. Right, we should be able to support, 8,000 low income people to help them get educated, to help them get jobs, to help them stay in the state. What do the Republicans offer? I guess that's my question. If the liberal don't win, if it's one of the Christian Broadcasting Network law school alumni, be it Kelly or Doral, well, what do they offer? What are they offering anybody about anything? To my understanding, the reporting, hell, these are not independent, as we know. I mean, specifically, Kelly was on the hook. He was getting paid by the Wisconsin Republicans to the tune of $120,000. He was on the payroll.
To help establish the false elector plan, apparently, Dom, to help commit a fraud against the Constitution of the United States. But you act like it's a bad thing. You know, that's just a guy doing what the team wants him to do, right? Because he's so nonpartisan, he would work for the GOP and the RNC, and he would take the money to establish a false set of Trump electors. That's what's being alleged in the Daniel Bice column last week. Dan Kelly was up to his eyeballs in that.
Hit said this. I had brought him on in Wisconsin to kind of help with, he's from Wisconsin, I brought him in to kind of advise on election law matters. Hitt's testimony.
Andrew Hitt's a lawyer in his own regard. He's trying not to, let's just say, bury his co-conspirator. Come back. I hardly ever bury my co-conspirator. His name's Dom. I'm Crudy. That's E-Bone. Bill Press, co-conspirator number 3 with us coming soon. Stick around. More Devil's Advocates. The happier happy hour is right now.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver to the vice president the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.